This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. The goal on here is to make listeners aware of interesting companies, smart people, and new technology developments, all of them meaningful in making digital signage projects happen. I try to help listeners understand sometimes complicated subjects and why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but things happen now and then. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 has been around since 2006, and the publication and podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which provides customer engagement solutions for business. You can find them at spectrio.com. New Jersey-based Diversified has grown into one of the world's largest AV integration companies, and certainly among the most active in digital signage. The company was started almost 30 years ago by Fred D'Alessandro, who just recently announced he was shifting his role in Diversified to make way for a new CEO. He's still going to be very much involved, but says former Unisys executive Eric Hutto is now very much in charge of the company. The two of them kindly set aside some time recently to talk about that big news, and what's ahead for Diversified. Among many things, we get into the steady convergence of AV and IT. Fred also relates a story I'd not heard before about how and why Diversified got started, which funnily traces back to a job he didn't want at the Home Shopping Network. Fred and Eric, thank you for joining me. Fred, congratulations on your decision to slow down, and Eric, welcome to ProAV.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you. I don't know about the slowing down, but thank you.
Is this a transition that's about to happen, or it's been underway for a while and you're now just kind of talking about it?
It's been underway and it has happened. So yeah, Eric is the new Diversified CEO, and I couldn't be happier to have him on the team. Absolutely. Great move by us, and I'll say by myself as well. So yeah, really.
You finally did something right.
Exactly. It only took 29 years.
So why now?
You know what? A lot of good reasons is, look, I've been blessed to, you know, start Diversified in 1993, you know, really as a startup. Like it's a garage story. And, you know, to have the opportunity to lead it for 29 years, create a $1 billion organization, I think the first ever in our industry, which is, you know, absolutely, you know, exciting and just, you know, real honor. You know, we have a army of industry expertise in the organization, but what the organization doesn't have is have somebody with Eric's leadership at this level when you're trying to build an organization that has a clear path, you know, to being a multi-billion dollar organization. So from, you know, the strategy, from the vision, from the operations, you know, how to, I would say, continue to exceed our clients' expectations and, you know, our employee development. It's the right time, and Eric and the team it's the right team and the right place. So yeah, no, thrilled. You know, coming out of COVID, you know, we're financially sound. So now's the time.
So this is not just you deciding, you know what, I want to go down to Boca Raton and learn lawn bowling.
No, you know, I'm a young 63-year-old, so I have a lot of energy. But you know what? I feel like my value at this point in time for the organization can be used in other areas. I think, you know, strategic accounts and clients that I've known for years, employee mentorship, development. Things that, you know, again, I know that I'm really, really good at, and I know Eric's really good at taking a, you know, a financially sound organization, you know, that's $1 billion and making it, again, you know, not so much, and I've said this in the past, it's not so much about how big we are, it's just really continuing to be the best as we get bigger. And that's really, really important to me, you know, as a founder. I mean, you know, again, you know, it's about being unselfish and,
right.
and doing what's right for our customers, doing what's right for our employees. And Eric is the right guy to do that for us. So I'm excited.
So sometimes when a company is founded by a particular person who's still there, and when they kind of maybe not step aside, but step back into another role, it could be a bit of a balancing act to make sure, no, you need to go talk to Eric about that. How are you going to work that out?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, there's no ego in this organization. And, you know, I always...
Oh, wait a minute. I've met people there.
Well, there's no ego at the leadership level. Let's say that. And, you know, and I will be the first to say that, hey, look, I am here, you know, again, in a different role. I've made that very clear over the past week to... you know, all the employees, and that, you know, Eric is going to make the decisions on the strategy, the operating models, the vision going forward. I mean, I'm going to help him as a the chairman of our diversified board of directors. So from that perspective is I'll listen to Eric, I'll challenge him. But at the end of the day, he's going to make those decisions. And, you know, if somebody comes to me, you know, I'm pointing them to Eric. I said it again and again last week. Look, I am very content with the role and making the decision to do this and really to bring Eric on. We're fortunate to just, you know, think sometimes, you know, you need luck and hard work brings that. But yeah, Eric's going to be great for this role. And I really feel he's going to take us to the next level and take our clients to the next level.
Was Eric somebody you knew, or was this kind of a headhunter thing?
So we did a search. Fortunately, you know, the timing that we found, so it happened rather quickly. But, you know, I've spent the last month with Eric. You know, spending a couple days here and there just to get to know the person, and to see how Eric would fit in the organization. And like I said, in many ways, I felt like, you know, his, skills, and tone, you know, again, were similar to mine, but his expertise and where he's been through his career, is just it's hard to beat. So like I said, you know, it was a pretty easy decision on my part at the end of the day, you know, after spending, like I said, the last month with Eric.
It's interesting, the pro AV community, particularly people like Gary Kay, have been going on and on for some time now about how AV and IT are converging, and pro AV people need to be thinking about this. So to bring somebody on as CEO who comes from pure IT services seems like, you know, a really sharp move and something that had to be done in a lot of ways.
I would agree with you. I think, you know, it is converging. It's been converging. It is more, you know, an IT managed services, you know, play in a lot of ways. And, you know, again, Eric's expertise is spot on. It's there. And, you know, we have, like I said, we have an army of AV knowledge and expertise. Mm-hmm. There's no shortage of that at Diversify. Now it's just bringing that all together with everything else that's happening and trending.
Yeah, Eric, you come from Unisys, IT services and consulting and so on. I'm curious, from your background, were you hearing the same thing, but on the flip side, that IT people need to be more aware of video delivery and AV in general in terms of their overall practice?
Yeah, I think, you know, the pandemic simply heightened it, right? We all got sent home. So if you think about the audio video quality of calls and the ability to keep things running, right, was a bit different now. And I think that forced people to get more educated, appreciate more of the components that go into it versus just servers and storage. and clouds. And I think it has merged. The IT industry over 30 years has just been completely collapsing all the stacks of technology, right? And now it's technology product gets out and it gets software updated, and it, you know, it lasts for a lot longer than it used to because it can be updated. And I think that's where we're headed with this. I think of it as experiential experiences that we're going to be having in these environments. We're going to have to come together, right? Security, you know, the morning show can't be broadcast in the afternoon because you went down because of your cloud or your security and you were hacked. So I do think it is the natural progression to take all the sophistication that Fred and team have built around how to create a great experience in a stadium. But now we move just a bit beyond that to what's coming into the stadium. And how do we keep that under control? Because those bandwidths and those things affect the quality of the experience.
Mm-hmm. I think a diversified as deployment, integration, you know, traditional pro AV roles, but I know you also do services. Do you see diversified getting more and more into the services and consulting side of the business?
Absolutely. Where we're headed with this digital world, it's all about design thinking. Now, I do think that's one thing that is core at Diversified that I've seen already is the ability to sit down and really design and lay out to an outcome. Where we do that is in big, large, complex things, right? Not to say that we don't do that in Google Rooms and so forth, but that's its strength. Now, that's going to have to get a bit more sophisticated, right? As we bring cloud, bring security, bring software-defined networks into the conversation. I was reading the other day just to get up to speed on what's happening in the business. You know, they say that by 2030, there'll be another $10 billion invested in stadiums. So they're not standing still. It's not a place that's slowing down. It's speeding up, but it's going to speed up in a software platform as a service model, right? And people are going to be able to really track and see what's happening almost at the seat level, if you can imagine that in a stadium when they're having a concert and how they move sound around. I think it's going to be all software. It's going to be really important.
I come at this from the angle of digital signage. So that's, you know, always what I'm thinking about, and less so about some of the more traditional sides of IT and AV, the collaboration and that sort of thing. I've always thought of Diversified, or always in the sense of the last decade or so, as among the big integrators, the one that by far was paying the most attention to and most active in digital signage. Fred, do you still see it that way, or are the other guys sort of coming on and realizing, hey, we need to do more in this area?
Well, you know, no, I would agree. I think, look, it's still a key unit, business unit for us that, again, drives a lot of value to our customers. And I think we continue to innovate. Like that is most important, especially in these kind of, you know, markets. So, large network deployments, content creation, an experiential piece to what that digital signage is going to do for the eyeballs that are looking at it. So it continues to really be a focus for us and is growing. I mean, so coming out of the pandemic, large opportunities to grow even bigger in that area for sure. Yeah.
One of your competitors, the main competitors, now has an experience group, experience design group for, I guess, big wow factor corporate office campuses and things like that. You guys have always worked with the Genslers and the ESI designs, that sort of thing, and kind of stayed in your lane. Is that kind of important to, do what you're good at, but let the experiential people do what they're good at as opposed to compete with them?
Look, that's always been my philosophy is best in class, usually at the end of the day, wins the day. When you're trying to, create that, total solution and you don't quite have the best people on your staff, it's usually not a good outcome for the client. And that's what it's really about. Right. What's best for the client? I think our approach is the best.
The IT services business, and I guess to some degree the AV services business, has grown because you have enterprise level customers of all different stripes and sizes, I gather, are saying, you know what, we want to do what we're good at. So can you guys take this other stuff on for us? Are you seeing that and seeing growth in that area of being kind of turnkey for a lot of these kinds of projects?
Yeah, and Eric could, you know, you could jump in, but what I'll say is that absolutely, I think clients, again, it usually goes in cycles, but I do think that clients are realizing, especially on a global scale, to have a single partner, again, that could provide various solution sets that we have. And I think Diversified is the only company in the world, honestly, that has the portfolio of offerings. And then it's managing for the clients all these different technology platforms and services. And we've seen a tremendous uptick in that requirement and the ask of clients. The technology, even though from a user base, often feels easier to use. You know, the behind the scenes, the back end and all that stuff, you know, it's complicated. And so many customers don't have the staff, you know, that can actually operate or maintain, you know, the technology. So that's where Diversified's more and more. So that's a big growth area for us for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dave, I could just join in on that just for a moment. Yep. You know, one of the things that, you know, I've learned over 16 years in IT services is that it is a relationship, and that relationship is trusted. And they do expect you, and you don't get to be a trusted partner advisor if you're making decisions that are oriented toward yourself. And I think Fred's right. It's always been outcome-based. And I do think that it gets hard to be the best at every single component of the solution because it's so complicated these days. There's so many things that you have to consider. I would absolutely, and I have always leveraged specialty partnerships where they bring it. Even Apple doesn't necessarily do all their own GUI work, right, for their applications and what we interface with, because they're very good at what they do. And I do think that's exactly how we'll look at this going forward. Will we need to have some knowledge, you know, on site with us that, like, understand clouds or security? Absolutely. You always want that. But we'll use strong partnerships in areas where people are really specialized to get the best outcome for the client.
Yeah, I mean, it would be difficult for you guys to hire on the level of creative to compete with the guys who you instead partner with.
Right, and that talent wants a place to grow, and we're not a creative company by core, even though it's something that we can do.
Yeah, you go into the kitchen to have your lunch, and you end up talking to somebody who's a sales engineer, and you can talk about football or baseball or whatever, but not so much about the core discipline.
Right.
Yeah. And we're a company of scale. So again, you know, you can't have one person that, you know, understands it and believe that you have like an end-to-end solution. Right. The story in many places.
Yeah, and just like the IT industry, skills are going to evolve in our company. If you go back 15 years, you had, you know, storage people and server people and network people. You don't really have that as much anymore. They're still out there, but it's all converged such that it's all so integrated that really you have different type of enterprise architects. And I would imagine that will evolve, right? As this stuff converges, as things merge, as we get more platform-oriented, software kind of helps us extend our services and capabilities. Of the people who we'll need will grow into a different skill set.
Security's been, obviously a huge component of IT services. Fred, have you started to see that become a demand on the AV side as well?
It absolutely is a demand. I mean, as all the AV equipment, digital signage, players have touched the network. It is absolutely a vulnerable point for IT, you know, concerns. So yes, bottom line is it's been going on, and it's just every day gets more and more, I'll say, scrutinized and restricted. So you have to have that skill.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Fred, you mentioned that 29 years ago, this was a garage story. I don't think I've ever heard that, how the company got started.
Well, so I'm a broadcast engineer by trade. I was working in the New York, New Jersey area. Station I worked for. I was blessed to be able to, you know, work in many, many different departments. So I got a well-rounded education for my first 7 years of employment there. And the Home Shopping Network purchased our TV station when they started up. And it was a decision between going to work for the Home Shopping Network or and taking a shot at, going out there in the world and you know, doing it on your own. And that's literally what happened. So I was like, okay, cubic zirconia for sale. I'm not into this. So let's go. Let's try to make something happen. And so, again, we went everywhere up on 300-foot, you know, television towers, replacing antennas to doing studios. So, yeah, absolutely. Whatever dirty work we could get, we did. So, yeah, it's
a wow.
great story.
I had not heard the Home Shopping Network thing. I was like, do I want to spend the next 10 years sticking an ice pick in my eyes or move on?
So it was just, you know, that's what I say. Things happen for a reason. I'm a true believer in that.
So today, what's the scale of the company? Like you're much more than just a U.S. company now, and there's a lot of bodies, much more so even than 10 years ago.
Now, so we are currently, like I said, revenue is around $1 billion. We have around 2,700 plus employees worldwide. We have 52 offices, 35 of those are in the U.S. The rest are overseas. All our offices are, I'll say sales, integration, and service. So they're not just sales offices. Mm-hmm. We build and service out of those locations. And we have about 80% of our revenue is out of the U.S. and about 20% is currently overseas and growing. Our latest international operation opened up in Bangalore, India. And it's really, really exciting, going well. So, yeah.
That's a big road trip.
Yes, it is. But, So, when I look at all the players in the industry, what I'll say is by far Diversified has invested the most internally to be, you know, a global organization. So, we use partners, but our goal is really to be our own, our own entity and work through the rest of the world, you know, and provide our customers with, again, you know, a consistent and standard, what I'll say, experience with us.
Have you been going to other countries because you see North America as somewhat kind of capped out or crowded in terms of competition versus other markets? Or is it just like there's a lot of growth potential in India?
The view of this and the strategy has always been to be where our customers are. So it really had nothing to do necessarily with, you know, trying to, or that the American North America is saturated and there's no more business. There's a lot of business in the U.S. going forward. But those customers that we work with and touch are global customers. So if you want to service them the right way and the best, you need to be where they are. And so that's been our strategy to date.
So is that a demand when if you're working, as you say, with a global customer, like a Fortune 100 kind of company where they want to roll in multiple countries? And in the old days, you'd have to say, well, we can do it here and we'll see who we can find to do this in France and see who we can find to do this in Japan and so on.
Yeah, we want to make it easy for them to do business with Diversified. So that's a saying that we've had in the company a long time is, right, you know, make it easy for our customers to do business with us. And so being able to work and have, you know, established entities in these various countries, you're able to buy in country, you're able to transact in country for them. And you just avoid a lot of the, I'll say, inefficiencies that you get when you're trying to do things, you know, from just the U.S.
You know, just like a lot of companies in IT, you get taken to places by, you know, clients, right? Dell was a huge relationship and they're global. So you kind of had to be able to operate where their clients took you. Over time, I think, as Fred alluded to, we're going to have our competencies and our direct associates, if you will. But they'll be in markets that we're choosing to be in because we see the growth in the market versus we got taken there by a client. But we will always have a ability through partnerships and other relationships to service a client wherever they need to be. And mm-hmm. I think that's the balance of, you know, direct labor, indirect labor, having more of a variable model that allows you to stay, you know, extremely nimble and flexible. But at the same time, where you have decided to be in a market, that is where your associates are.
Has most of the growth that you've seen both domestically and internationally been through acquisition, or are you going into some markets and just saying opening up as Diversified and starting to hire and do sales?
Well, I would say all our expansion has been strategic. Mm-hmm. We've absolutely never just went in and said we hope there's business there. and that we're going to sell. So I think, you know, Eric's point is very true, is that, again, you know, you look at what opportunities are in country and who our global clients are and where they are. So when you put those two together, you know, I'd say a real large opportunity.
Mm-hmm. You know, in my initial solid, 14 days, Fred?
Yes.
What I have seen in talking with, and I've talked to surprisingly quite a few people, that's just kind of how I work and learn a company as I start at the front line and work backwards. We are growing a lot and mainly from relationships that we have because we're tried and true and we've always done great quality work. So I see a lot of organic growth really in this year, Fred, I would say. Because we've learned how to, you know, really get in with a client and understand their problems and solve to that. And they continue to consume more from us. And as our portfolio expands and we're able to do other things besides just to your point earlier today about integration and putting things in, you know, we just continue to create a stickiness with our clients and create the value.
Where do you guys see the opportunity over the next couple of years as we get out of this mess with COVID?
Well, yeah, I mean, what I'll say is I see a tremendous amount of opportunity, you know, again, with, like I said, return to work is one, you know, which obviously is the collaboration and you know, that piece of it. I think when you look at the, you know, how digital signage, how media, how IT, all of like stitching together these disparate technologies into one experience, you know, for, I think, our customers, their employees, their customers, is what is really, really exciting and the opportunity that I think, again, with the pandemic, brought a lot of new thinking, you know, into our organization about how we could help our customers. You know, again, not just during a pandemic, but long after and you know, make what we design, what we create, what we install and maintain more valuable than it was in the past. So there's a big opportunity in all these, like I said, stitching together.
Did you learn things out of the pandemic as well? Like I saw a lot of investments, a lot of marketing of products that were pandemic specific, like thermal sensors, temperature scanners, alternatives to touch screens and so on. And while there was a lot of noise around it, I didn't see a lot of commercial take up of them.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that at the end of the day, you know, some of those were needed at the time, but there's real no, I don't think there's a future for a lot of those products. So as I said, when you think to the core of what companies need to do and you know, their employees need to collaborate. So, you know, those type of tools, I think, you know, will continue to add value. When you think about streaming and media and virtual events, those will, I think, continue. So there were a number of things that I think, you know, again, the new workplace and workforce will embrace, and I think it will add efficiencies and you know, a better outcome for a lot of our
clients. It also gives us a chance to help companies rethink their work environment, because, you know, even at you know, when I was at Unisys, we didn't have everybody coming back to the office yet. But as they start to come back, what kind of office is it? Mm-hmm. Right. And really what people need is collaborative spaces where they can come, engage, connect, get things done, and then move on. But I think that's a huge opportunity for us to, again, help them think through the design of what is it they want to achieve with their associate base when they do come back.
Mm-hmm. And have you seen much, everything around the workplace that I've, not everything, but a lot of what I've seen around workplace has been so focused on front of house, so to speak, the white collar areas, the offices, and not that much about the production floors, the warehouses, and all that sorts of things. Have you seen more understanding of that as an opportunity and a need?
We see a lot of you know, digital signage, IPTV opportunities in those warehouse, you know, the workplaces like that, because again, you know, corporate communications is key. I mean, we have Rachel on the phone here with us, but you know, I think that's one of the things that you learn, especially during a pandemic, of how important communications is. So I think companies going forward will, you know, need to step up their game, you know, to make sure that everybody is connected, because everybody is not always, you know, in the office or in the warehouse these days, right? So it's important. Mm-hmm. But that's where I see digital signage, corporate communications, IPTV, really, really being, you know, the leader. And that's what we do really well. So, I mean, that's where we've been, you know, extremely, extremely doing well in that area.
Mm-hmm. So just last question, what's been the reception around the industry to the news that you're taking on a different role and Eric stepping in?
Well, from my perspective, is I'll say, look, everybody's congratulated me.
They're saying, oh, thank God.
Yeah, right. Exactly. To some degree, people are happy that I'm not going anywhere, that, you know, that I'm still around. But again, as I've made clear, I'm you know, it's Eric has the football now, you know, I'm here to support him, and I'm here to support the organization and our clients. So yeah, it's been really positive, very rewarding. I'm humbled by a lot of the emails and phone calls I've gotten, so it's really special.
Well, congratulations to both of you, and it's a pleasure chatting with you.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and maybe you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 69, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the archive and find hundreds of conversations with smart industry people. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 69 at 16-9.net. You'll find more than 8,000 posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry.
69 is not a press release republishing mill like a lot of the stuff out there. If something makes it on 69, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 69 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and the key one here is ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Check out all the curated and automated content available at screenfeed.com. 69, the blog, and the podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which does customer engagement solutions, most of that digital signage, for all kinds of businesses. You'll find them in the Tampa area and online at Spectrio. That's spectrio.com. You'll find me working out of a sunny back room in my house located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.